Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Anything that gets in your way is just something that's temporary. And as long as you don't take no for an answer, you don't take that as final. You just move on to the next thing and you can continue to build from there.
You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow your side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews Okome. So let's get started. Hey, hey guys. Today in the guest chair, we have Eniola Oshodi. Raised in Chicago by Nigerian immigrant parents, Eniola is a woman who wears many hats. She is a former nursing manager and instructor, turned nurse practitioner, and now a thriving CEO. She's the founder of one of the fastest growing medical apparel brands of 2020, Dope Scrubs. Eniola knew when envisioning Dope Scrubs that she wanted to create a brand that not only made healthcare workers feel more confident, but also gave them the opportunity to express themselves through their attire while working on the front lines. Despite having a fulfilling career as a nurse practitioner, she always knew she wanted to merge her two biggest passions, fashion and the medical field. In her personal life, style and design were an everyday priority. So when she couldn't find the scrubs that aligned with her fashion sense, she decided to create them herself. Her quality designs, inspired by her personal wardrobe and attention to detail, birthed what is now known as Dope Scrubs. And by providing the option to dress in unique or more chic traditional styles, offering plus sizes, and making everything available online, Eniola Scrubs are revolutionizing the appearance of medical professionals. Doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers can now trade in their everyday, unflattering uniforms for the stylish and polished Dope Scrubs. In today's episode, you'll hear how Eniola managed a growing business while working on the front lines herself during the pandemic. Let's get right into it. Welcome to the guest chair, Eniola.
Hi, Nikayla. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm very glad that you're joining me tonight to talk about all things Dope Scrubs. So what made you decide to pursue a career in nursing?
So with nursing, my mom was actually a nurse or is a nurse. So that's where kind of the motivation to pursue a career in nursing came from. But it's actually a very long story. I started my nursing career in high school. So I started a vocational program in high school. So I was an LPN when I graduated, and I did have some doubts about it, and it was mainly related to things, you know, I was just worried, you know, maybe I wouldn't like blood, maybe I wouldn't like giving shots and things of that nature. But once I started working in the field, I realized that nursing was almost made for me, you know. It's something that just kind of came naturally. And just being able to give back in that way was great for me. So ever since then, ever since I was about 18, I've been a nurse.
Now, I know that as a nurse, you must have been really busy, like working long hours. And so I am just so impressed that you were able to start thinking about a side business of creating scrubs. How did it even come about?
So Dope Scrubs didn't start as a side hustle for me, per se. It just started for me as a need. It was something that I was looking for after being in the medical field or in the healthcare field for over a decade. I just kind of felt like scrubs were just always unflattering and didn't look good. So I wanted to create something. And, you know, another thing for me was after working like kind of in bedside nursing where we're required to wear scrubs and then transitioning to being a nurse practitioner where I don't necessarily have to wear scrubs on a daily basis, but I realized how much more confident I would feel in my regular clothing compared to scrubs. So I was like, you know what? Something's got to give. So the idea for Dope Scrubs came about then because I felt like healthcare workers and just, you know, people that spend so much time at work, like I feel like we spend hours at work. We needed something that made us feel more confident, that made us feel more beautiful, and that just kind of brought a little bit more dignity to what we do. So Dope Scrubs came about there.
We all have heard the saying, you look good, you feel good. And if you walk around for 12 plus hours in something that's literally called scrubs.
Exactly. You like, get it. You get it. Like, that was it.
Literally.
That was it. I live that in my everyday life. You look good, you feel
how
good.
How are you supposed to feel? You know, I don't know the origin of the name, but it is a name that just connotates like. So what did you do next once you realized, okay, I need to revamp this?
So once I made the decision to revamp scrubs, well, I began my search for how to do it. I had to figure out how I was going to make these scrubs, what style I wanted them to be, how I wanted them to still be functional, because I mean, we still do have a lot of work to get done and we do still have a, you know, need for pockets and certain things that might not always be flattering on regular scrubs, how I was going to make them functional but still fashionable. I went on a journey of creation. So I basically gathered ideas from just my personal style, my personal wardrobe. I started making sketches. I sketched out different styles and different ideas that I had. And, you know, I revamped them a little bit. I tweaked them here and there because some I was like, okay, this might be a little bit over the top. Maybe, maybe not. So
maybe you don't need the cape, like, right?
Exactly. Do we really need a cape at work? No, maybe not. So let me take out the cape. So things of that nature. And then I got to the point where I wanted to find someone to create them for me. So I searched local, I searched international for people that could basically bring my vision to life. And I tested out a couple of people, got a couple of samples and started wearing them myself. And that was the first step. I started wearing them. Oh, I wanted to see how I felt in them. I wanted to see how people will like them, you know, if people were drawn to them. So I wore them around for close to like a year before I ever even did anything more.
So take us back a little bit. You mentioned that you sketched it out. Are you good at sketching, or was this like basic, like stick figure, square boxes kind of sketching?
No, I'm no Picasso, but but you know, I got the job done. You know, it wasn't like, you know, I have always considered myself fairly creative. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't doing any kind of 3D major sketching, but, you know, just very basic sketches, you know, things that I saw and what I visualized just to put them onto paper. So it wasn't anything over the top. Very simple.
And as you were reaching out for people, what did you look for to ensure that they could then take your sketch and make it into a product?
So I actually looked more for fashion designers.
Interesting.
I looked for, because I mean, you know, generally when a person wants to get into something that's uniform related, you would look for people that do create uniforms. But I was looking for people that were leaning more towards the fashion route, but could understand how I wanted to transform this work attire into something more fashionable and something more elegant. So I initially went the route of looking for fashion designers to create my samples and to bring my samples to life.
Like, that is genius, because here you are, you want to break the mold, you want to think outside the box, and you know, me thinking like, oh, okay, I'm just gonna go see who else design scrubs, but no,
exactly.
Because you just get more of the same. You got to think outside the box. I like that. And then as far as like, okay, you've identified people who are fashion designers. Now, does that apply to any material? Like, how did you make sure that what they do can apply to medical grade scrubs?
So it's my research. So I think that the fabric that we wear to work is important. We want to make sure that we're still able to perform our everyday duties. You know, it's a very tasking job and it requires a lot of movement. So as far as fabric and functionality, those were things that I, on my end, made sure and that I maintained. So I picked the fabric and I picked, you know, I kind of designed the styles to make sure that we have pockets in certain areas where we need pockets. The pockets were not just superficial pockets and things of that nature. So I think with the fabric, what I did was I did my research on scrub fabrics. I did my research on the different types of fabrics, on fabrics that were used for, you know, like your more surgical scrubs versus your everyday and regular workday scrubs. So, and I looked at the different components of the fabric per se, because a lot of scrubs are just very stiff. They're just uncomfortable to wear. They're not soft against the skin, actually. A lot of like the surgical scrubs that people wear in hospitals sometimes, they're just not very comfortable to wear. So
there are other scrub options.
Yeah. That have like different combinations of fabric that, that still meet like the standard for scrubs, but are more comfortable. And, you know, they might be a little bit pricier, whatever the case might be, but those were the kind of fabrics that I was sourcing and looking for to bring this to life, because I did want to make sure that component of, you know, the medical field and the medical safety was still included.
So what happened during that year as you were wearing the scrubs? What kind of feedback were you getting and what were you doing with that feedback?
I actually got very good feedback. When people would I never told anyone that, hey, I designed scrubs, or hey, I designed these. What do you think? I would just wear them like every day, like, you know, like nothing happened. Hey, I'm here. I'm in my scrubs hanging out, you know. And just see what would happen, you know,
right.
See if somebody would say something like, hey, those are cute, or hey, those are nice. And that happened. Like, you know, people were like, where'd you get those scrubs from? Are those scrubs? And those were the questions that I kept getting. And people were like, wow, those are awesome. Like, do you make these? Like, do you have a lot of these? Like, you know, people wanted to know more about it. And I was like, okay, we're headed in the right direction. We're headed in the right direction. And after getting good responses, I was like, you know, maybe I should venture into making more of these and see what people think, and see if there are people that are apart from me that are also looking for the same thing in their scrubs. And that's when I was like, okay, you know, I'll take the feedback that I've received so far. And the other thing actually was pockets, right? Mm-hmm. So the pockets on the scrubs, they're always in front, and I hate those things, okay, personally. I mean, whatever, but I put all the pockets, like, kind of hidden, you know?
In front. Okay.
They were just, like, I just didn't like them, and that was my one thing. I was like, I just don't want to see these pockets, you know? I know we need them, but I just don't want to see them, so I hid all the pockets on the scrubs that I designed. So people are like, but where do you put all your stuff? And I'm like, surprise, you know, there is a pocket. So when people saw that, they're like, okay, you sold me at that point. So I think maintaining that functionality of scrubs was really important to people as well, just based on the initial responses. And that's when I pushed the go button.
So what happened? What is the go button? Okay, what happened? Like, did the website go live? Did you start taking orders? Was it pre-orders? Like, tell us about it.
So the go button was finally placing a larger order for these scopes. So actually, after I tried out a couple of different manufacturers or vendors per se to help me, you know, bring my vision to life, I found one that I felt was suitable and was able to properly execute what I wanted and had the right quality. So I was like, okay, it's time now. I'm going to place a larger order. I'm going to take this money that I have, my savings, and I'm going to place this order for these scrubs. And
wait, were you placing an order before making any sales? Like, you went from wearing it yourself to placing a big order?
Yes, from wearing it myself to, you know, it wasn't a significantly large order per se, but it was bigger than anything I'd ever ordered before. So we're talking maybe a total of like 500 pieces.
Okay.
So that was just like bigger than anything I'd ever ordered. So at that point, I was like, okay, I have these four styles that I know are like my favorite styles and that I received the best, you know, response to. So I'm going to take these four styles and I'm going to, so it was probably 400 pieces because I made just like 100 of each or something like that. Something, okay, you know, bigger than normal, but I mean, still reasonably sized, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was that investment like? Like, what does it cost to order 400 pieces of scrubs?
So all depending on like the style and the fabric quality and things of that nature that you're using. I think for me, that first investment was probably, I would say, about 10 grand.
What happened when you press go? And did you put them all on sale?
So I pressed go and they sat in my house for a while.
I'm sorry, because I relate. That is so real. A box of stuff you ordered. Like, if that is not the side hustle, like, first experience with e-commerce right there.
Exactly. I got 400 pairs or sets of scrubs and they're sitting in my living room, you know?
We gotta get these out of here.
Yeah. So that's what happened. So I pressed the button. Boom, I have these scrubs and they're sitting there. I was like, okay, so what's next at this point? So the other thing was that I was still working, of course. So, okay. You know, life is there. Life hasn't stopped. Being a nurse it's a very busy job. So I was working all the time. My regular hours hadn't changed. And, you know, COVID was on its way, actually. Or we had started hearing about COVID. So it hadn't been considered a pandemic, I guess, at this time. But, you know, things were picking up in the hospital for us. I just kind of had these scrubs sitting there and I had to decide what to do from there. So I started watching videos. I just literally just went on YouTube and I was like, okay, let's see what people do when it comes to starting a business. And I just started watching videos and I was like, I have these items. What do I do next? I decided to take some pictures. And then I was like, okay, I got to build a website. I got to figure this part out. So I put together a website after many weeks and I actually was just going to kind of stop. You know, I started getting overwhelmed because, you know, work was busy and just putting together an e-commerce website and, you know, figuring out how to put together pictures and things of that nature was a lot to do. So I was going really slow and my family kind of encouraged me. They were like, hey, it's now or never. You already have the stuff. What are you going to do with it? You can't just keep it sitting here. You know, you gotta push the go button and get it going. So I think that I was striving for perfection because naturally I think I can sometimes try to be a perfectionist, which is not real.
Yeah.
And striving for perfection, I kept kind of pushing it back. And one day I was just like, okay, I just got to go. It's not going to be perfect, but it's enough to get it going.
Right. And shout out to supportive family too.
Man. Yes. Shout out to supportive family. Without supportive family and friends and colleagues, I mean, you probably, you know, I don't know where I would be at this point. Right. So shout out to them for sure.
Now, what changed between them sitting in your living room and you saying that was it. Like, what, when you say you worked on marketing, what happened? Did you ramp up Instagram posts? But even if you did that, right? Like, you can post till you're blue in the face, but you have to find a way to bring people to that content.
Exactly.
So what did you do?
So first thing I did, I took pictures, right? So I actually set up my like personal like camera and like a stand, and I was like, okay, we got to get some pictures going first. So at that point, I wasn't thinking about maybe getting a photographer and all this other stuff and going more the professional route. So I started taking pictures to post to, you know, social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram. And the first set of pictures, I was like, you know, why don't I make something more creative out of it or do something with it? So I just made like a slideshow and I kind of, you know, announced that it was coming and I wanted to see the response to it. And then, you know, it was, like I mentioned, it was right around, you know, the beginning of the current pandemic. And it was kind of when, like, you know, this whole like dancing stuff and all this other social media stuff got popular. So I was like, okay, I got to somehow, you know, get this out to people. So, you know, I did, you know, some video and scrubs and things of that nature. And those were the things that I used for advertising initially to kind of, you know, announce and prepare people for the actual website launch.
Oh, okay. You were doing like reels and those kind of videos on IG?
Yeah, I don't think
IG.
They have reels yet, but I think okay. It was just like videos, like, you know, where you just kind of, I would just wear the different scrubs and just kind of post it on there and do a little dance or something. Like, hey, I have all scrubs. And post it to the page. And you know,
listen, I love with it. You have to start somewhere. Now, and this was all in anticipation building up to the website launch. So people yes. were not able to purchase yet. This was kind of the pre-launch then.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. And then when did you launch officially? And what was day one like?
Okay. So after running, you know, a few ads, and we launched in May of 2020. So it was like May 15th was when we launched. And launch day was surprisingly pretty good. We got orders on launch day. Okay. I didn't expect that because I mean, I just knew it was new. And you know, I kind of heard people's responses to it, to the videos and the few ads that we'd run. But I didn't really know what to expect. And I think on that first day we got maybe 40 orders or something. And I was shocked. Wow. I couldn't believe it. Yes. I wasn't even ready for it. I was like, what? Okay, all these orders, what's going on here? I was like, so this ad thing worked. My dancing worked.
Got 10% of orders down.
Yeah, I was like, wow, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Yeah, so that was it. And from there, you know, it was dope scrubs to the world.
Dope scrubs to the world. I'm looking at Instagram now. You have over 26,000 followers, and I'm seeing you working with influencers. I'm seeing lots of medical professionals, some with really big followings, wearing dope scrubs, promoting dope scrubs. How did you start to build those partnerships?
So when we initially started the page and we were running a few ads, I would pay attention to just, you know, people's response to it and the people that were liking it. And when people would like posts, I'd be like, okay, let me click on their page, see what they have going on. Let me click, is this a medical professional or is this just someone that likes the picture, you know? And after paying attention to the people that were kind of liking the page and the response to the page, I then began to look for influencers. I paid attention to, you know, what they posted. I paid attention to their following. I paid attention to what they represented. And I wanted to make sure that it aligned with the people that Dope Scrubs was trying to reach and, you know, just aligned with our vision. So I then began to reach out to people, just, you know, sending out tons of emails. And luckily for me, I'm telling you, I did not know what to expect. You know, you're sending out this email to this person that has like hundreds of thousands of followers and you're like, okay, let's see what happens here. And you know, people were so supportive, you know, and it was phenomenal, like the amount of support that we received. And people were just very
welcoming and willing to work with us and willing to collaborate with us. And
that's awesome.
That was phenomenal. It was not the response that I expected per se, but I was so grateful.
And what was the impact of those kind of partnerships? Did you see an uptick in sales when you would partner with an influencer?
Yes, I believe that influencers, especially the right influencers, influencers that, you know, kind of embody your brand or whatever your product is important. And when you find the right people, they generally have either people that are similar to them or people that are in the field and, you know, people that can kind of relate to them following. So you're able to reach your target audience in that way. And I think it's not just about finding an influencer per se, it's about finding the right influencer.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry, and some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs. United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, and when we keep them bottled up, it affects us negatively. I have found that therapy has been a safe space to get things off my chest. I had my daughter last August, and by January, I hit up my therapist like, let's go ahead and set up this monthly session. Therapy has been so helpful for me in setting boundaries, and it just empowers me to be the best version of myself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, this is your sign to go ahead and do it and give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/HustlePro today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/HustlePro.
As all this was going on, the pandemic started to rage.
Yes.
How did that impact your business and affect your workflow?
I think on my end, I think with the impact the pandemic had on my end was more of like from a personal standpoint, I would say. It was that work began to get busier and harder and became more taxing for me. So I wasn't able to really do as much with business at the time or, you know, as the pandemic worsened. Mm-hmm. I think that took a toll on me personally because I became pretty burned out. You know, I started this business and things were working out, but then it was like work and nursing and you know, working is my passion in the medical field. So I've always been the one that's, you know, going to go to work to pick up extra hours to help out if needed. Mm-hmm. And I knew that there was a greater demand for us at the time. So it became a lot for me personally to run the business. But for the actual business, I think that the pandemic did not affect my business. I didn't notice any changes when the pandemic kind of worsened.
Do you think that's because like people were in need of scrubs? Like you, there was actually demand for it? Or was it also a matter of you launched around a time when a greater awareness and I won't say awareness, but a real drive for support of Black owned business was also picking up? Did you see any change with those things happening as well?
Yes. So I do think that those were a couple of factors that played into the way business worked out for me. I think that there was potentially the increased need for scrubs. I mean, people have scrubs already, yeah, but then there was also, hey, this is a Black woman-owned business, and you know, we want to support this, and we like the look of it, so we're going to buy this as well. So I think that those two things did kind of work out in my favor, and I noticed the increase of support during that time period and the increase of like, you know, kind of shares and people just spreading the word about Dope Scrubs because, you know, it was fairly new and people were like, whoa, I haven't seen this before. And this is, you know, in line with, you know, something that we're looking to support anyway. So let's get it going.
And how are you managing the next wave of inventory? So you started out with 400, the demand picks up. How are you staggering the inventory?
Inventory and just this entire thing is something I've had to learn. It's been a learning process for me. And we are constantly, thank God, you know, this is a blessing that we're constantly sold out. You know, the scrubs are, they move very quickly, you know, since they started moving very quickly, like since, you know, launching. And we've had to order, you know, a couple of restocks even in this short period of time. So we've had to basically see what the demand is, see what people want, and order increased amounts based on that and change how, you know, change our ordering style and monitor kind of like the trends of ordering to, you know, to determine what to do. But I mean, we went from 400 to ordering thousands, you know, now. So it's changed, definitely.
That is awesome, though. Definitely yeah. Problems. But I know it's not easy. And you mentioned we. So I'm assuming there's a small team or maybe a large one behind it now. How did you go about building a team? And what was that process like?
So for building a team, I think what happened for me personally was I realized that things got busy and it's just not possible for me to do it on my own. And I think for anything that you want to scale or anything that you want to grow to a certain level, it's necessary to have the right team. And I think because Dope Scrubs grew so quickly and the demand increased very quickly, a lot of decisions had to be made quickly. So I had to basically just think on my feet and I found my friends. You know, initially it was just like, you know, I needed my friends to help me out. But then, you know, eventually my sister came and joined the team. And then, you know, I hired a couple of people as well to join the team. And I hired people to help me with marketing and things of that nature. So I think that quick growth required quick decisions. So I did not necessarily have a process for building the team. I just had to go. I had to move quickly. Mm.
And are you still shipping out of your living room?
I am not.
So that means there's now a warehouse involved or is it drop shipping going on? Okay.
So we have a space that we ship out of that we moved into a couple of months ago. And we're actually working on expanding again because even in our current space, you know, with the demand, you know, things move pretty quickly. So we need to get more space to be able to hold more inventory.
at this point.
Wow, wow, wow. Look at the growth rates. And I also notice, I'm sure as this is all happening, you are also learning more about your product itself, what works, what doesn't work. I noticed on your site you have an update to the sizing chart. So what kind of things did you learn as you've moved forward?
I always try to pay attention to the customers. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm serving the customers, the doctors, the nurses, the people that are wearing my scrubs. And just in paying attention to, you know, what was the reason that people needed to return things or exchange things, or what was their biggest concern about the scrubs or the biggest complaint that we found. And based on that data and just kind of collecting that information, I made a decision that we needed to change the sizing. We needed to update the sizing to make sure that we are able to make our customers, you know, feel very comfortable in what they're wearing and feel confident in what they're ordering, and just for them to have a better shopping experience with the scrubs overall and as a whole. So there's been other little things like that, you know, just working on customer service, because I believe that customer service is huge, you know, and changing the method in which we were doing things with that, but that's still evolving. So I think just as we went along and as things grew, we had to continue to pay attention to what was going on and what people were saying. And based on that, we needed to adjust. So those things are still happening till today.
Of course, of course. And speaking of adjusting, you started out juggling your full-time job and this burgeoning side hustle. How is that going? Are you still doing juggle?
Well, there wasn't much juggling going on anymore. So right now I'm full-time working as an entrepreneur. I am no longer currently working as a nurse practitioner. I decided to, you know, after seeing so much growth and after realizing that my business needed me a lot more and the demand was way higher, I decided it was time to transition from the side hustle and make it my full-time career.
What went into making that decision? I mean, going from being a nurse in a time that everything seems so unstable, nothing seems promised, and I'm just so impressed by people who decide now is the time to quit my job during a pandemic. Like, what calculations did you have to make to say to yourself, you know what, this business will sustain me and I can make this move?
And you know, I think that that is something that you cannot be 100% sure of, per se. There was definitely the fear of losing the stability and the stable paycheck, you know, from my 9-to-5 job, from a very fulfilling career. And I, you know, I just kind of noticed how things were growing. And I realized, based on statistics and just based on what was going on with the business, that if I were to dedicate more time and put more energy into it, I could do even more than what I was doing at the time. And I wasn't sure for a while. I thought about it and I talked to my friends and I talked to my family, and, you know, people are like, no, you can't do that. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. Just don't do it. And I prayed on it, and I took a while and I thought about it and I looked at the facts. You know, I looked at the business. I looked at what was going on with the business, and I looked at the statistics, and I just kind of looked at what the market looked like. And I felt that it was the best decision.
Well, congratulations. Not everyone makes money in their side hustle when they first start out in their business. What was your experience with making your investments and then getting sales? Were you making money coming out? Were you profitable? Were you having to invest it right back so you weren't really profitable? How has it been for you?
So thankfully, you know, and it's phenomenal, but business has been profitable from day one. I think initially, you know, of course I did reinvest the money that was made from the business, you know, into getting more inventory and ordering, you know, bigger amounts of inventory. But from day one, business was profitable. So that was phenomenal. But with growth, of course, you know, overhead costs begins to increase, and
right,
those are things that I have to be mindful of. Exactly. You have to hire
you have to get space, you have to do certain things. So, you know, those things change the dynamics. So those were things that I had to be mindful of and think about, and things that might have caused me to change the way that I was doing certain things in business. But yeah, business has been profitable, and we've just been, you know, reinvesting as much as we can back into the business.
Love it. So moving forward, how do you ensure that your business will continue to grow and that your brand awareness will continue to grow and that you'll have repeat customers?
So I believe that it's paying attention to the customers, paying attention to the Dope Scrubs family is so important. I prioritize, you know, listening to what our loyal customers say. And I try to make sure that we're focused on, you know, our loyal customers while also trying to build and acquire new customers. But I think that sometimes with growth, older loyal customers can be kind of put to the side. But I think that paying attention to what they're saying, paying attention to the feedback that we receive on our items, on the quality, on designs, on fit, on just how it helps them feel better at work or how they feel when they wear the scrubs. Paying attention to those things, I think, are key in maintaining the business and also in growing the business. I think that listening and paying attention is huge to maintain and to get new customers. And marketing, of course, I think is huge too.
Of course.
I think that marketing is a major, major piece, and the right kind of marketing. I think just kind of piggybacking off of what I previously said, knowing who you are trying to reach, knowing the people that you are trying to get to, knowing your market is important, because then you can market to them in the right way and get them to at least give your product a shot.
Before we jump into the lightning round, I would love to know, what is next for Dope Scrubs?
I think right now the biggest thing is, you know, keeping up with the demand. We're working on building the team. So, you know, trying to build a marketing team, build a strategizing team, you know, things of that nature. Just building the team and making sure that we have the right team. I think that some other things that we're working on is, I mean, we have other things that we plan to work on. However, I think the biggest thing right now is expanding. You know, we got to get more space in order to be able to hold more inventory in order to meet the demand. And we got to build the team, because with the right team, I think that, you know, sky's the limit.
So now we are going to jump into the lightning round. And you know the deal, you just answer the very first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. So number one, what is a resource that has helped you in your business that you can share with the Side Hustle Pro audience?
So for me, I think for a quick little task that I need to complete it, there's an app called TaskRabbit. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Oh,
you can find almost anything or anyone, you know, to kind of complete anything for you in a sense. So when I just needed, just because growth and things were happening so quickly, I feel like for me with business, I just kind of needed little tasks. So I would use that app. And then there's an app or another system that I've used called Fiverr, just to kind of get help with certain projects and things of that nature.
Number two, who is an entrepreneur that you admire and why?
I don't think there's an entrepreneur, honestly, that I don't admire. I know that I didn't I can't give a direct name. And that's because coming into entrepreneurship, I realized that it is not for the weak. It requires a lot from you. And I think that every entrepreneur so far that I've seen, I don't think there's anyone that I don't look up to.
Okay, we could take it.
It's different. This is brand new for me. Okay. I don't know where, you know, it requires a different kind of spirit.
Yes. Number three, what is a non-negotiable part of your daily routine?
Non-negotiable prayer. Non-negotiable.
Number four, what is a personal habit or trait that you think significantly helped you in building your business?
I think resilience. I think for me, I don't take no is an answer, per se. And I think that that's something that's been very helpful for me to build the business because, you know, I think that anything that gets in your way is just something that's temporary. And as long as you don't take no for an answer, you don't, you know, take that as final. You just kind of move on to the next thing and you can continue to build from there.
And finally, number five, what is your parting advice for fellow Black women entrepreneurs who want to be their own boss, but are worried about losing that steady paycheck?
Once you find your thing, you know, and your quote unquote thing. And I think that to me, that thing is more than just about making money. It's something that you're going to do or that you are passionate about when you're doing. I think that once you find that thing and you start it wherever you are, I think without looking for perfection, because I think a lot of times you can see another business or another person doing something and you kind of want to strive for perfection or something. I think once you figure out what your thing is and you decide to do it, I think everything else will fall into place and the stability of the 9-to-5 job, you'll know when it's time to kind of to focus on your business and to take the next step and to leave it. So I think it's just finding the right thing.
All right. Well, it has been so awesome having you here, sharing your story with us, had some nice laughs.
It's been great talking to you. So glad you. To have gotten this opportunity to speak to you.
Yes.
And to share my story.
And yeah, to see the woman behind the brand. Guys, you have to go check this out. I mean, the scrubs are like so classy. They look functional and fashionable, just what you were talking about. And I mean, I would wear this, but I'm not a medical professional.
Look, everybody can wear them. We got to get you some joggers.
Okay. I would wear these anyway. Okay. So thank you so much for sharing your story. Where can people connect with you and Dope Scrubs after this episode?
People can connect with us on the Dope Scrubs Instagram page at Dope Scrubs. My personal page is at RX of Style and our Facebook page, Dope Scrubs FB. I think it's facebook.com/Dope Scrubs FB.
All right. And we will link to all of that, guys. So you can just go ahead and look at it in the show notes. And to see more of all the links and resources that Eniola shared, just go over to sidehustlepro.co/Dope Scrubs. All right. And there you have it. Hey guys, thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other side hustlers just like you to find the show. And if you want to hear more from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Side Hustle Pro. Plus, sign up for my 6-bullet Saturday newsletter at sidehustlepro.co/newsletter. When you sign up, you will receive weekly nuggets from me, including what I'm up to, personal lessons, and my business tip of the week. Again, that's sidehustlepro.co/newsletter to sign up. Talk to you soon.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.